Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially let me read verse 8. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. This is the text. And so the sower comes along. Parable is easy to interpret at that point. The sower is Jesus. He comes into our world to give the word of life. The seed that he brings is the word of God. Let's be specific about that. It is the word of forgiveness. It is the gospel. You can summarize it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You can summarize it in the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's the gospel. It is not the message that you better do this and better do that if you want eternal life. The seed is the word of God that gives the life. And so the word from the cross, the gospel message, and this is what he comes to sow. Sowing that word. Well, now, this is where we run into difficulty in the parable, because we slip into making the soil the thing that makes the difference. The soil never gives life, does it? The seed has life in itself. That's what God's word is all about. The seed has life in itself. So I can't come along and look at this parable and say, well, yes, I'm dirt, but I'm better dirt than that guy over there. Doesn't work that way. So every one of us has souls that, well, we've turned away from God. Our lives, we filled it with sin. Our rebellion, our refusal to listen. All of that, that's us. And you can't take us and say, well, we're the reason why we have new life in Jesus Christ. Now, that has been the question since early on in the New Testament. It's when the first disciples went and told others, we have found the Christ. We have found the Messiah. Later on, Jesus says, that's what it looked like to you, but let me tell you the real thing. You did not choose me, I chose you. So the power is in his word, isn't it? And then let me share with you a story from when we moved to Southern Illinois, and we got there and looked out in the backyard, and there in the backyard was this kind of toasted, weedy patch. Not much growing there. Turned to my wife and said, I'm going to plant a garden there. That was her reaction. She laughed. You know how much topsoil there was? It was gone. It was on a slope. It had washed out. There was nothing but yellow clay. Going to plant a garden there. So, first year, planted seed. Nothing grew. No, actually, what grew was weeds. And she looks at me and says, and I say, I'm going to mulch those weeds. I'm going to compost them. They're plant material. That's worth something. Besides which, I know a guy who keeps horses. Okay, so over the years, second year, not much grew, but something. Third year, a little more grew. Fourth or fifth year, we were starting to get plants in there. And every year the kids would complain, "Do we have to help you shovel the manure?" Yes. You'll like the tomatoes. Okay? So, here's the lesson, applying it. So the sower comes to sow, and he throws the seed everywhere, everywhere you can imagine. What does Jesus do with his word? Everywhere in the world. You mean that nation over there that does those terrible things? Yes. And those people over there, their lives are a mess. Yes. You know, want to know the most surprising place where I've found where God sowed his seed? Anybody want to guess? Me. See, I see it from the inside. So I know the rebellion and the wandering off and the things of the teenage years. And he kept on throwing that seed my way. Because the power of life is in that word of God. The power to change the soul. The power to give the new heart that is in the word of God. It is in the message about Jesus Christ. And we have a saying, as Lutherans, it's distinctively Lutheran. We say, the word causes faith in the word to develop. The word itself produces faith in the word. So God keeps tossing his seed toward us and into our hearts, and time after time after time, you can have somebody ignore it, not get it, react badly, wander off, reject it. And again and again and again, the sower comes back, throwing more seed into places where any sensible farmer would have given up on that patch. But this is not a sensible farmer. This is God who knows the power of his own word. I mean, after all, there at the beginning, what happened? He said, "Let there be light." Didn't matter that light did not exist. It had to be. Stood outside Lazarus' tomb. "Lazarus, come forth." Completely unconcerned with any condition of decay that Lazarus' body is in, he speaks. And his word has that power. And so for him to then take his word of life, not just "let there be light," not just "come back out of the tomb for a while," but the word of life, the message of salvation, telling you that though you have sinned, your sin is forgiven. He took that sin. He carried it away to the cross. He did that. He wiped out the sin. He gives you a word of life. And in him, knowing that there is life in Jesus, there is forgiveness in Jesus, he keeps on throwing that seed your way. And over the years, what happens? The seed begins to change the soil. That's the amazing part of this parable. The seed has that power and transforms us. So God speaks his word. And inside, what happens? There's a new heart. A new me that's created. The old me still wants to fight against God. But then there's this thing that God has done inside of me. And faith happens. And all of a sudden, in my soul, I find that I've got a hunger for this word of God. Recollections from back in my teenage years, I may want to ignore that. I may want to be too busy about other things to pay attention to it. But that Word of God keeps grabbing a hold. That Word of God keeps snagging me, digging down roots inside of me, putting that Word of God and the truths of God, forgiveness of sin and life and the promise of eternity and the promise of heaven and the fact that there is a loving God the Father who sent His only begotten Son. All of those things keep digging down and changing who I am. And I find myself saying, you know, at one point I tried to ignore it, but this is the most important truth. This is the one truth that when everything else is gone, everything else fades away, this one remains. When I'm gone, when this body has been 10 years in the grave, let's make it 10 days in the grave and you wouldn't want to dig it up because it smells. Even at that point, that truth from God stays. And when the truth from God has dug into my soul and joined with my soul, well, the Word of God lasts how long? It's eternal. And that Word of God grabbing a hold of my soul, it's eternal. And that's my hope. It's my hope because there is no other hope that can claim that. Whatever else you turn to fades away, disappears, it will be gone. Science, medicine, everything. It will be gone. But this one truth, the Word of our God, stands forever. And the truth of Jesus Christ forgiving sins, forgiving my sins, that's eternal. And so the sower comes to sow all over the world, throwing his seed everywhere, even to me. And that Word of God, that seed of the Word of God, transforms and gives life. In Jesus' name, amen.